Welcome to 15 Minutes of Problem Solving Discussion with Fred Kuhn and our next guest.
Welcome, everybody. What a show today. Really interesting subject, something I know very little about, but I'm about to find out a lot about it from our guest today. We have Mike Batman Cohen, and oddly enough, the name Batman comes from the fact that he's the founder of Wayne Technologies. Get it? Okay. So Mike, in addition to being the founder of Wayne Technologies, is a recruitment, training, and search firm. And Mike has over a decade of experience in placing technologists, recruiters, biz dev professionals, and has conducted trainings for corporate and agency recruiters. His bio is quite extensive. Take a look at it on the website under the guest biography section. So with that said, Batman Mike, hello and welcome.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. We have a really interesting subject that you suggested today, and I agreed was, I think our audience would really appreciate. What is the use case for AI, artificial intelligence, and sourcing tools?
Sure, I think the first and most important thing for people to understand is, what is AI? Because when people think of AI, like the first things that come to their brain are like Terminator and Skynet and The Matrix, and while those are fantastic movies, they're not really what AI is today.
Driverless vehicles.
That's a great example. So AI today, to break it down as basically as possible, AI is a set of mathematical recursion, which basically means that you plug in a function. So you say, I want software engineers with Java in Houston, and you search. When you pull back and you tell the system, yes, this candidate's good, or no, it's not, they run through that list again and draw similarities out of the things that are good and the things that are bad. And it runs that function again. For any of the math nerds like me out there, if you remember f of x from high school or college, AI is simply the f of x, and you just continue doing that for every iteration of AI.
So let me ask you this. I have had training and have trained some of my people on Boolean string logic, which is a way to query with very specific goals in mind. How does that impact the AI? Or is AI designed for Boolean string? Explain to me how that works.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a correlation there. And the correlation is that AI will typically handle that. So what it's doing in the background to dumb this down, because the only way I can understand it, is you build out this huge, long Boolean search string, right? And it takes you 5 minutes, 10 minutes to build that. You run your search, pull your people, screen some into a project, some out, and then you tweak that Boolean command based on what you had, and then you search again, and you do the same thing. And then you tweak your Boolean command, and you do the same thing. So imagine then if building the Boolean command and tweaking the Boolean command was being done automatically, and it was learning based on the people you either added into the project or didn't. And that's kind of the correlation there.
It would sure save time, let me tell you.
It sure would. And that actually is a great segue, Fred. So one of the things I try to talk to people about is that artificial intelligence is not going to do your job. It is a tool to do your job. And I make this joke, and I think it's a little bit more tangible, which is, people always ask me, you know, what's the best AI tool to use? And it's very similar to asking a carpenter who's building your house.
Yeah, it's like asking how big is a mountain? Are we talking about Mount Humphreys, Mount Mitchell, or Mount Everest?
That's exactly right, right? Like if I asked a carpenter, what's the best tool to build a house? And he's like, I use a hammer. That's what I use. I'm like, okay, first, you're fired. Second, that's ridiculous, right? You can't build a house with a hammer. I mean, I guess you could. It'd be scary to live there. And that's similar to AI. It is a tool. And the tool can do things that will simplify your job. It will not do your job. It is just a tool, just like LinkedIn or an ATS.
You know, I'm thinking about what you just said, Batman Mike, and I was thinking about, what about the robotics? We see so many jobs being replaced today by robots, but those robots have to be programmed, but then AI eventually can program the program. So how does that work futuristically?
Futuristically, so that's actually a great question. You actually caught me at a very good time. I'm in the middle right now of preparing a talk for a few conferences this year on AI. And what you're talking about right now is the difference between what we'd call like a reactive robot and what they would assume to be in the future called strong AI. So a reactive robot are like the robots who move parts in a factory, or robots even who play chess, right? They're set with a predetermined set of rules and movements, and based on A, you do B, based on B, you do C, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get into something like strong AI, or, you know, the next level of that would be AI with self-awareness, that's when you have AI who can think intelligibly and creatively like humans. At the earliest estimates, where we're anywhere from like 22 years, I think, was like the earliest, up to like 70 years away from that.
I remember a company I worked for in Chicago. We were one of the adapters and innovators, I think, in town of predictive adaptive dialing. And it was the early stages of this.
Yeah, it's funny to ask, you know, how long has AI been around, right? And people are like, 1990. The first study was actually done in 1956 on artificial intelligence, one of the first journal articles.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's been around. It took a lull for a good 30 years. But realistically, bringing it back to recruiting, AI is a tool that should help either automate or increase your efficiency by decreasing the time spent on mundane and monotonous tasks. So people think AI is going to, oh, it's going to find me all these candidates and they're going to be awesome. It won't. That's not what AI does. The goal of AI is, if you're not a super quick Boolean searcher and you're not very quick at eyeing profiles, saying yes or no, and then tweaking those Boolean commands to X-ray not just LinkedIn, but, you know, there's GitHub or Stack Overflow, Facebook, Pinterest, Meetup, whatever, AI is going to help you do that, right? And it's going to make that process quick and easy, but it's not going to do the process for you, if that makes sense.
It does. I know a couple of people who are experts at Boolean logic, and you were being very kind, I think, with amateurs like me, saying 15 minutes to put a string together. I mean, God forbid you put the colon or the semicolon in the wrong place, or you don't put the right space in, and you could wind up looking at somebody in Timbuktu. So, thank you, but it takes a while, and it's a pretty complex language. It's like any other computer language, right? You just have to learn a new language, and that's essentially what it is. Let's go to the idea of, if a recruiter is working on a daily basis and their applicant tracking system, I'd like to talk about that a little bit, and LinkedIn Recruiter. Let's focus on that for the rest of the podcast. How does that work? How can recruiters improve what they're doing? How can you best use LinkedIn for helping you as a recruiter improve your search capabilities?
Oh, I like that left turn. That's a good one. So this is actually a lot of what I do my training on for people. People always assume like, oh, we want to learn how to do Twitter recruiting and Facebook recruiting and all these deep algorithmic searches. And it's like, whoa, pump the brakes. Let's take it back to the roots. How are you using your ATS? And how are you using it in conjunction with LinkedIn? So there's a few different pieces here. One is the ability to find information. The second is the ability to store information. Third is the ability to track that information. And then the fourth is the ability to report on that information. When I ask people like, hey, what is a recruiter? I always get the same answers. We help people get jobs. We make placements. We fill open roles.
No, they don't. A recruiter's job is to separate out and find the fuzzy left-handed purple squirrels. It's not to help people get jobs. It's to help the company find the right match.
So I actually break it down a step further. We are merely brokers of market information.
That's an interesting concept. Good way of putting it.
We find market information. Our market information happens to be candidates, their jobs, compensation, all that info. So if that's what we do, that's our currency, is that data, then that data is the most important facet. That's literally our currency, right? So A, how are you finding that data? Well, there's a bunch of different ways. Obviously, using the advanced filters is going to be key. I suggest for anybody who might be an amateur with Boolean, practice. The best way you're going to learn how to do it. And I promise you, you're going to mess it up.
I guarantee you, everybody listening, you will mess it up. He's absolutely right.
That's right. I've been on LinkedIn since it was in beta back a while ago, I will say. And I can tell you, I still mess up my Boolean commands, right? You forget a quote here, a parenthesis there, and you get an error, no response. Or you get...
Thank you for your graciousness. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's like math, right? You're writing out a math equation. And in that math equation, one plus or minus sign that you're missing is going to change the equation. So I encourage you first, try it. Try that. Second, when you get your search results back, less is more. People come all the time like, oh, I got 300 results. I'm like, that is way too much. That is what I couldn't imagine sitting in front of my computer for 8 hours straight just looking through a list of 300 people. I'm sure there are people who like that. I'm not one of them. So break it down. Find a list of under...
If they're a recruiter and doing that, they're not doing their job properly. I can tell you that as a retained search recruiter, I can tell you that.
That's right. They're also going to burn out really quick. That is not a lifestyle that's sustainable. So get it under 40 or 50 results. If you don't know how to do that, obviously feel free to contact me after this. But the short answer is use all your filters. I need somebody who has a BS degree. They need a Bachelor of Science, not like a BS artist, in computer science. They need to have attended one of these, 18, 24 different schools in the country. They need to have one of these titles. They need to have these type of keywords and keep adding it in. And you narrow your search down, you narrow your search down, you narrow your search down. Once you've gotten your, let's say 40 people, you go through them and you filter them out and then you expand the Boolean search. So maybe you remove the schools now, right? So you open it up to all the schools in the country. Or maybe you remove the specific CS degree. So you're still looking at top universities. It's not necessarily just computer science. And as you open it up, you get more and more people. And you think about it as a bullseye. You're playing darts. Your goal in your first search is to hit bullseyes. Only bullseyes. That's it. And then maybe you open it up to that outer ring. We're at the inside portion of each of the numbers. Then a little bit further and a little bit further, opening up that room.
Yeah, like concentric circles on a aero target.
That was a much better example. Yes, concentric circles. that is much better than what I said. So that's the sourcing side. Now, I spend a lot of my time on the data collection and the data storage pieces of this. Here's why. If you are a recruiter, chances are you are recruiting for similar positions or you are recruiting for the same positions over and over again in, whatever that seasonality is for your corporation. Things that people do not use on LinkedIn to track information. One, statuses. Two, projects. Three, tags. And four, custom filters. I've spoken to more than a couple of people who are LinkedIn power users. I don't even know what that is. I'm not going to lie. It's apparently a thing that you can become, who aren't aware of these built-in LinkedIn recruiter tools. So start at the top, projects. Are you using projects or is it just another place where you're dumping candidates? Every time I in-mail someone, here's a little secret sauce for everybody, I put them in four projects every time. One is the name of the project I'm actually working on, right? So Fred Kuhn, Senior Java Engineers. Second is a project with the date of this week, the Monday of this week. The third is a project with the date of the month. And the fourth is an overarching project that I call pinged. And here's the logic. It's a tracking piece of information. So when I ask people, hey, how do you send your second or third or fourth in-mails out? I get one of two responses. One is, well, you can't. Once you send somebody an in-mail, you can't in-mail them again. Not true. The other is, well, I go through the project and I look at each candidate. I see when I messaged them last, and then I message them again. And the average time for that is 2 hours. I have ADHD. Anything that takes me longer than 10 or 15 minutes, I'm out. So what you wind up doing is the following week on like a Wednesday, you go into the last week's project and you just look at your statuses. If their status says replied, they wrote back to you. If their status says emailed or contacted, if you want to use the generic ones, okay, I need to reach out to this person for a second time. and you just click on everybody and send your second email template and message them a second time. And it takes, 3 minutes. And then you can do that 2 weeks back and 3 weeks back. And then the month before, and then 2 months before. So you can wind up sending someone 5 emails over the course of 3 months automatically just from using projects and statuses appropriately, a built-in tool used on LinkedIn Recruiter. The other two pieces are tags, which I talk to people about all the time. Tags are useful because it helps you in your future searching. I went on a tear for a couple of years of only placing one specific type of software developer in New York City. I ran a search, and it took me 3 or 4 months to do this in total. But I went through every person who had that technology anywhere on their profile in New York City, and I tagged them. I either tagged them with the technology, or I tagged them with other technologies. So what happens eventually? You've messaged everyone in your industry, or you've at least looked at them all. When you do a search again, you can just search by your tags because you know that everyone who has that tag is the right fit for your job because you've already looked at them, right? So it's like looking for a Java engineer. You're going to have 2 million people come up. How many are actually Java engineers though, right? 400,000, something like that. So that's the third one. The fourth one is custom filters. Most people aren't aware this is a thing. There's 3 lines where you have your projects and your tags, your alerts. All the way to the right are these 3 lines. It's like a hamburger, people call it. You can actually make custom filters. So I make a filter called Incrolate, which is the ATS I use. Rating, last contacted. So that way I can search on those as well. If I know a client's only going to look for A-minus candidates, right? Like one of the top hedge funds in New York. I can search based on people that I've already rated in the system. So all of these things help you track information so you're not reinventing the wheel every time you come to the table with a search. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I wish we had more time. So what I'd like to do is invite you back for further exploration of these techniques and tips. Because we have spent a wonderful 19 minutes and 10 seconds in our podcast talking about AI and its actual day-to-day utility for LinkedIn and for just screening and finding candidates as a recruiter. So thank you very much, Mr. Mike Batman. I have to say, I really... I really like that, Mike. So we've been talking with Mike Batman Cohen, founder of Wayne Technologies. You can contact Batman on our guest biography section of the website. So Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely, Fred. Thanks for having me. It's been great, and I look forward to hearing from you guys soon.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.